All told, we have, I believe, 14 head coaches out of the 27 head coaches speaking at this clinic. Glenn Constantine is doing an hour presentation on defensive line play. I mean, are you kidding me?
Hello and welcome to At the 55, your home for OUA football. Me and Tom are back on the mics after a little teeny tiny hiatus there, but with an extremely exciting podcast with as exciting a guest we could have on. So, Tom, the honor's all yours. How the heck are you doing, my friend?
Oh, my man, I am so good because we have one of our collectively favorite coaches, favorite people in U Sports right now. The head coach for the Waterloo Warriors, Chris Bertoia, joins the pod. How you doing, coach?
What's up, brothers?
Coach, I'm still
I'm good. How you guys doing? Keep busy over here. Spring camp's all done, exams are done, and it's 2024 and we're still undefeated. So, man, LT, life's good. Life's good. Everyone's working hard, so we're doing well. Lots of things going on at the University of Waterloo coming up this weekend, starting this weekend with the Team Ontario Top 90s for the U14s, U16s, and U18s. And then that kind of lightly transitioning into the East-West Bowl week and ultimately culminating in the game on Saturday, May 11th at Warrior Field.
And that is the theme for this episode, to set up all things East-West and just to cover. I mean, I'm still riding high off our conversation last week and how excited I am off of all the things that you have been organizing with your team to put on what is no doubt going to be such a incredible show, and not just the game itself, but everything throughout the week. For those who aren't familiar, East-West, a showcase of, in this case, the top 100 Canadian university players eligible for the following year's CFL draft. And Coach, I'd be remiss before we got into talking about all these things you have going on, but of course, it's setting up the draft for next year. We're sitting here recording May 1st, 2024, the day after the 2024 CFL draft, where we saw two of your guys, two linemen on both sides of the ball, one Ethan Kalra, get picked up in the fifth round going to Winnipeg from the offensive line, and a guy that we might have talked about a few times on this show, one Tyson Hergott, joining the double blue and the ranks of the Argos. I'm doing the virtual background here, so the hat might be a little in and out, but I know as much as Tom loves his Tie Cats, we're just excited to see both these guys go to the next level, even if Hergott's joining Tom's mortal enemies in the double blue. How are you doing riding off of two of your boys getting picked up? It must have been such an exciting moment for you.
Yeah, you know what? It's a draft night's great. I mean, we're trying to tab it up, but I think since 2017, those two guys getting the Tyson and EK getting drafted last night, we're made it 12 draft picks since 2017, which, you know, for Waterloo, prior to that, there wasn't guys going like that. So, yeah, I'm so super proud of both those young men, and they're both outstanding guys, teammates, character guys. You know, academics are important to them too. They both do well in school. They've been academic all Canadians on top of their prowess on the field. And yeah, I mean, you know, Tice is such a competitor. We're it's getting in late in the second round. It's kind of, and I got a little kind of WhatsApp chat going with K-Mac and Conway and going like, all right, Winnipeg just, yeah, maybe he's going to go on one of these. And Brubaker goes, and okay, Brubaker's off the, okay. I just thought, you know, maybe second round. And then he got picked by the Argos. And that was great, you know. And Tice is such a competitor. He wanted to go earlier, but he's just ecstatic at the opportunity. And obviously being in Toronto an hour down the road, parents being able to go to games, all that good stuff. I mean, it's a pretty sweet pick for him. And I know the Double Blue's got great plans for him. My old buddy Mickey Donovan, the special teams coordinator there, he said he's pretty stoked to have him. Obviously, Tice is a big body guy that can run. So from a special teams perspective, there's certainly going to be a place for him, and he can flat out get after the passer. So I think there's going to be, you look at what Toronto does and Robbie Smith's there and stuff. I think Tyson's going to have a real opportunity. And I think it's with the CFL, it's all about fit, right? It's all about fit sometimes. So I think it's a good fit for him. And then EK, yeah, he went a little sooner than I thought. And I mean, that's, if he listens to this, he's gonna be, God, Bert, but fifth round, 40th overall, I was so ecstatic. He's a tough SOB. Started from day one here. 2019 was his freshman year. And we plug and played him as a 19-year-old out of St. Andrew's College at right tackle. We had a really good O-line going at that point in time with the Curtis twins and Greg Brand and Spencer Andrews. Arguably, we definitely were a top three O-line in the OUA, and this freshman comes in. The biggest thing I can say about Ethan is that he's a last year he got rolled up, I think, against Guelph, and he went down, and it was kind of an oh shit moment for Matt Fraser, our O-line coach. And I said, I'm on the head, so what's going on with EK? And he's like, Coach, he doesn't go down. He's one of those tough guys. When he goes down, there's something wrong. But yeah, I don't know what the Pegs' plans are, but a lot of the conversations pre-draft were about him moving to center. So yeah, I'm really excited for both those young men. They're great kids, come from great families, and I know they're both going to seize their opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it was a genuine pleasure that I had when I went out to that invitational combine that was at Waterloo and seeing Ethan Calra kind of do his thing, especially in those one-on-ones. And you saw the guy move from, he did a bit of guard, he went into center, and it was pretty impressive to see him do his thing. And then obviously Tyson Hergott dominating at the national combine, like we knew that guy would. Awesome to see for the Waterloo program here. But this is one of the rare times where we have a head coach of a program on here, and we're not necessarily going to talk Waterloo football, but rather the exciting stuff that's happening at the University of Waterloo next weekend here. And like you said, like you teed up, East-West Bowl is coming to Waterloo. You're looking after it here. And even just through some of the preliminary conversations that we've had, this is going to be bigger and better than it has been in a long time. Walk us through some of the things that are going on here for the folks who are excited about this or who don't even know what the hell's going on at Waterloo.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to under, we always want to under promise and over deliver at Waterloo. So, I won't give everything away from the week, but yeah, it's been a lot of work, and certainly, the game. I'm glad it's at Waterloo. I did an interview earlier today, and they talked about a bidding. But there wasn't really a bidding process. Usually the big dogs who have stepped up before, like the Westerns and Lavals of the world, were certainly interested. But Laval was putting in a new field, and Western had a whole bunch of stuff going on, and there just wasn't availability from a field perspective. And it was kind of like, no, shoot, this if nobody steps up, there might be a stopgap here, and if we have another stopgap, is this the we don't want to lose some of the funding that the CFL gives us, et cetera. And so, my experience at Western 2009 to 14, with Greg giving me the East-West Bowl coordinator, I had a lot of experience doing it. I still had my files, and got clearance. Obviously, we need the support of our athletic department, and our AD, Rolly Webster, signed off on it and supported it. He, uniquely enough, he has an affinity to this game. When he was working at Laurier, when this first 2003, I think the first 2 or 3 years, the game was hosted at Laurier, and Rolly was a huge part of that game. So both of us had an affinity for it, and we just didn't want to lose the game, and so we went forward with it. So lots of planning goes into it, and obviously budgets go into it, and we're really excited for it. It's been planes, trains, and automobiles booking stuff, trying to get guys here from all over the country, and it's certainly exciting times. I the nice thing about the game, and you guys already prefaced it with the third year guys or guys going into their draft eligible year for next year's CFL draft. This is kind of the big start. Like, the process has always started because once you're on the field, you're always being evaluated and the film is there. But this is kind of the 12-month process has started. And I don't mark my, I don't know exactly the number. But 47, I know 47 guys got drafted from U Sports teams last night. And I think 39 or 40 of those guys were in the East-West Bowl last year. So if you talk about the importance of the game and the value of the game and the quality of the players that are coming to this game, I think that speaks volumes to it. So yeah, super excited to get things rolling, and we got a great week planned. Obviously, it's condensed and super intensive. We want to make sure that all these fine student athletes have a great experience at the University of Waterloo, and that's our job to provide that experience so that they go away feeling great about the East West Bowl experience and really just build, you know, it's not that it was lost, but just, you know, we want to make sure that this continues to be a game and one of the highlights of the U Sports calendar year, even though it's kind of pseudo out of season. But we want this game to be, I mean, you guys are both former players. This game didn't exist when I was playing with leather helmets. So, but it's, you know, it's, we want it to be a game where high school guys are committing to schools and they're going to like, hey, can I, am I going to get an opportunity for, am I going to get an opportunity to be able to, you know, go to the East West Bowl, you know? So it's kind of one of those scenarios. So, we want to make it an important game. And I think it's going to be great. Obviously, we're crossing our fingers that the weather's good because when it's sunny and 20 degrees out, that's a heck of a day to go watch football. And hopefully, we get some good weather and enough of this rain. So, yeah, really excited for the week. Yeah, I know, you know, there's lots of little things going on. Not sure if you guys want me to just keep rambling or you kind of want me to break the week down. What do you guys want to do here?
Well, coach, you were mentioning the transition or the connection with the performance of players from last year's East-West and the how that translated into the draft this year. Tom was spot on in being at the combine that you were hosting about a month ago or so, seeing those reps and then seeing how, you know, when you compare it to the East-West numbers, it gives you a sense of players and their trajectory. Is a guy improving from some of those numbers? How is it tracking? And obviously, that progress doesn't have to be linear. Sometimes something comes up, but it is a great metric. And so let's dive into the week because that combine is Tuesday, but as well, there's the free agent CFL pardon me, the not the draft, but the free agent. I'm mixing my words here, but let's
Camp, yeah, free agent, CFL free agent camp, yeah.
free agent camp. So let's start at the beginning of the week with some of those events, the combine and the camp, because these are events that, as you said, you know, thinking back to our time when me and Tom were playing, not as prevalent on the radar, and you're really bolstering up all these events. So let's start there at the front end of the week.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, Monday's a travel day. Everyone's kind of plane, trains, and automobiles, coaches included. You know, all told, right now, crossing our fingers as there's multiple U Sports teams still currently doing spring ball. All told, right now, we got 102 guys coming into the game, 102 student athletes, and I believe 46 coaches between head coaches and assistant coaches. You know, the goal is for everyone to arrive. Some coaches are coming in later in the week, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday. The goal, you know, we have an orientation meeting Monday night, you know, about 8:15, 8:30, and we get things rolling. And then Tuesday morning, 9 to 12, we got the combine where we're going to basically replicate the Invitational Combine. So truthfully, you know, next year, the CFL compare can compare apples to apples, right? So, you know, all the guys are going to do, you know, height, weight, you know, hand measurements, 5'10", 5", you know, the L cone and 40s, et cetera, bench, 225, verticals, all those tests to kind of really create a baseline, truthfully, for the CFL evaluation piece. And then, you know, then we get on the field for our first practice in the afternoon. And then Tuesday night, we 6 to 9 in the field house, we have the CFL free agent camp. So that's a combination one where we're not going to do as many tests. We have, you know, 4 or 5 combine style tests. You know, the 40 obviously is going to be tested with a laser and a jump and a bench and a 5'10", 5". And then they put a helmet and shoulder pads on, and we're going to do some competing and, you know, a little bit of indie and then into one-on-one. So very similar to what happens at, you know, the CFL style combines as well, all being videoed. Right now, you know, obviously CFL camps, rookie camp, I believe starts the 8th, which is the following day. But right now it's great. There's 7 of the 9 CFL teams are going to be present on Tuesday, and 5 of the 9 CFL teams are going to be present all week. So even though their camps are starting, you know, their scouting personnel, player personnel guys, including, I got to give a shout out to Ted Gavaya from Winnipeg. He's a true blue U Sports guy. Teddy G's going to be coaching the running backs. He's going to be there for the whole week, so he's actually integrating himself into it while he evaluates players too. So credit to him, his affinity to U Sports. And then Wednesday, Wednesday's kind of a meat and potatoes day. Get a lot of work done. Thursday, another meat and potatoes day, and then Thursday night we brought back the East West Bowl a banquet, which is it, we're able to do that, and be able to put that on from a a very grateful from a contribution from the LIT group, the Lang Innovation Team, Mr. Stu Lang stepping up and supporting it to ensure that student athletes are having a great experience. So thank you to Stu Lang and the LIT group, Bill Brown and Sarah Garrett for their leadership on that, and them also, helping out with kind of some ideas leading up. We met a few times, prefacing the East West Bowl week and playing on some of the ideas because they do have great ideas. So credit to them for supporting me and taking this on, but also financially helping out, with that banquet to enhance, the participants' overall experience of the week. And that banquet's going to be neat. We got, Mike Hogan from the Double Blue, the Argos, manager of communications there with the Argos. Hoagie's a great MC, and he's going to MC it. We got Enoch Mwamba coming as a keynote speaker. Couple other potential special guests showing up, trying to put, we got, we're going to make it a nice night for the fellas and for the coaches. Just try to change it up from the cafeteria food and just kind of give them a little respite and then kind of give them the night off after from meetings and such, and just add to the value of the week. And then Friday we got the coaches clinic, and that's huge because it's the lineup is crazy. And I'll tweet out or X out, whatever the hell it is, kind of the lineup. But we're doing on-field drills with the East team, and they all come out, and the O-line will do some drills, and the running backs and the LBs, and all being videoed, and all the clinicians can watch these specific indie drills for development. Then the West team comes out for an hour, and then after that is my I'm I can't I'm super stoked for at 5 p.m., the first kind of classroom session is in one of our big auditoriums, and moderated by Michael Faulds. We've got the four conference championship head coaches, including Marco Idoluca, the Vandy Cup championship coach. So Coach Idoluca, Coach Marshall from Western, Coach Waterman from St. FX, and Coach Nil will all be front stage sitting on sitting on chairs. And we're doing an open mic Q&A session, and so that's going to be a pretty sweet start to the clinic. And all told, we have, I believe, 14 head coaches out of the 27 head coaches speaking at this clinic. Glenn Constantine is doing an hour presentation on defensive line play. I mean, are you kidding me? We got and we got the legend of East West Bowls back. Now he's coaching at UBC on the, but we got Double D Dan D'Orazio coming to coach the O-line, but D'Orazio's also doing a presentation as well. I mean, shoot, if you're listening to this, it's next Friday, May 10th, and it is a nominal fee, $75, and you can do a coaches group of four for $240. Essentially get, paying for three guys and getting one in for free for a coaching staff. I mean, if you want professional development in the Canadian game, this is the marquee coaches clinic going on, and we're so happy to be able to put that on. And yeah, I want to give some credit too to Coach Faulds, who's obviously stepped up. Him and Coach Kevin McNeil are kind of facilitating and organizing, and I give credit, Coach K-Mac's done a great job in organizing things, and Mike's helped out with organizing and getting guys to speak, and they're emceeing the clinic, those two. So credit to Mike, for helping out with the programming and coming across the street and helping us run this East West Bowl Coaches Clinic too.
And yeah, if you didn't get a sense Oh my God, is there going to be a lot of stuff that you want to be around during this entire week here? Not to mention, as well, for a lot of people who may not have seen it or not, you get a chance to actually check out the unbelievable facility that you guys have to work with. That field house is top grade. I'd put that up against anything else in the country here. Like I said, I had a chance to see that in the CFL Combine. So even just that itself, but then also the wealth of knowledge from all the coaches that are coming and some of the star-studded lineups that you just kind of went over here. My question kind of comes back to this. We've seen some other East-West bowls in the past that have been lackluster, let's say. Don't want to call anybody out specifically, but might have something to do with one of the shirts that I'm wearing here for our
Yikes.
YouTube listeners. But they would be really easy, especially for someone like yourself, to just say, yeah, you know, I'll host the East-West. I'll do the bare minimum here. We'll get you guys practices, whatever, and then we'll do the game and we're out. But you're going above and beyond in all of this stuff. Everybody just heard of all of the incredible things that you're adding into this. Not to mention, you're going to have other keynote speakers like Murray Drinkwater from the Referees Association. There's going to be a whole bunch of people who are all around the game who are coming into this. What's
Yeah.
your motivation for doing this up and doing it as big as it's going to be here?
Well, before I get to that, I did forget, and I'd be remiss not to talk about we are also doing a women's coaching internship as well. We had two women coaches on each sideline helping out here for the week. Unfortunately, one had to step away because of work commitments. We'll have three, women internship coaches there, and super excited to have them there to, it's great to have women coaching football and coaching men in football too. And so we certainly want to advocate and promote and also give them an opportunity to be professionally developed as well. And I'm sure we can learn some stuff from them as well. So really excited about their opportunity, Taylor McIntyre and Carly Manners from U of T, and Kendall Westlake from Windsor will all be there. Taylor was sorry, McIntyre is from McMaster. So yeah, super excited. I'd be remiss also not to give a shout out to Miss Marianne Vaughn, assistant to the head coach at the University of Waterloo, myself, a retired professor. That she will be all over the East West Bowl, being an ambassador for U Sports and a representation of Waterloo as well. So I can't forget Miss Marianne. But yeah, passion wise, I just had such a great experience doing it while I was at Western and when I was working for Coach Marshall, and just saw the importance of the game and just the overall experience, and having these guys, what an opportunity for guys who are all really, at the end of the day, football players, student athletes, going to good universities to get an education. But truthfully, they're all here, they're chasing a dream, right? They want to get an opportunity to play professional football. And what a neat experience for all these guys to come from across conferences across the country, rub elbows with their peers that, some of them knew each other, maybe playing provincial teams, or met each other in a 7-on-7 tournament. I don't know. But now you're gonna, and maybe they've seen film and clips and read stats. Hey man, Malcolm Bussey, man, this guy can run. And well, Malcolm Bussey's gonna be there, right? Like, and you get to see all these different characters and players and men, and the guys from the University of Montreal and Laval and Saskatchewan and UBC and obviously my bias to the OUA, but it's just yeah, it's neat for all these guys to be able to hang out and truthfully build some relationships, and then hey, maybe next year their name is called and their name's called and they get to go sit in a locker room with, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers or the Edmonton Elks or Toronto Argos. And shoot, hey, my transition's a little easier here because I'm sitting beside this other guy that got drafted that last year we got to chill and hang out and compete and push each other and work to, and I think that's the important piece. It's all about enhancing the student athlete experience. And I think this game goes a long way to doing that, specific to football players. That's my passion. I'm here to serve, man. I want to make sure that people are enjoying the game of football and having a great experience, a positive experience all the time. And that's what motivates me. I want people to go away, you know, feeling better about themselves and enjoying an experience. And if it means there's got to be a bunch of hard work involved, which there is, and it's not just me. You know, it's Coach K-Mac, it's Coach Conway. It's our athletic department, you know, Rolly Webster, and down, our SID, Magnur, like you name it. There's so many people that are involved. We're going to run a game, a home game. We're not treating this like an exhibition game. We got on the broadcast, we got Adam McGuire, we got Matt Jack, and we got Deshaun Stevens.
We're
going with three. Okay.
All-star lineup in the booth.
Yeah. And, you know, we're running a game. We're doing promotions. We're doing giveaways. You know, we got Domino's Pizza Truck. We got a beer garden. That's right.
Oh.
Okay. We're trying to make it a real deal thing so that everyone has a great experience. And ultimately, that's what it's about. It's about, you know, these guys coming and competing. And obviously, from a selfish perspective, they want to represent themselves and do a great job. Then they next want to represent the school and that they play for and go to, and then they want to, and ultimately they're representing U Sport and building our brand to continue to grow so that more and more guys get opportunities to fulfill their dreams in the CFL and in the NFL now. Right. And then certainly with what happened with the two UBC lads was great. You know, last year, my boy Tyrell Ford getting an opportunity with the Packers, like all of these things matter. U Sports football is outstanding and it's getting better and better. And we want to put that on display. And so those are ultimately the things that get me fired up and motivate me to want to host this. And in turn, motivates the people that are an extension of my arms, that are part of my staff and a part of our university, a great athletic department, that they understand what's important. And so that's why we're doing it.
Well, I mean, if you haven't already bought your ticket listening to this right now, I don't know what the hell is preventing you, because this is the best sales pitch you could get. And Coach, what I love so much about what you're talking about as far as how this event pulls together athletes from across, you know, the country, from sea to sea, and Tom and I, we share that OUA bias with you, and it, what's so great is that this hopefully gives an opportunity to quell some of those debates of, you know, which of our leagues may pump out the best talent, but that camaraderie piece, and when you pair it with the red-black game as well, it's that other sort of touch point of being able to say we were together at red-black, you're together at the east-west through those battles all the way to the CFL. And the last thing I want to ask you about, kind of bringing back to what you just talked about there, you know, Tom was asking about just what makes this event so special for you, and just the idea of putting U Sport football back on the map. Me and Tom, with the platform we have, so often are crying to the heavens, trying to do whatever we can, and we share so much of your passion of trying to put a bigger spotlight on these athletes, and a lot of that has to do with, well, you know, the media exposure that comes with things, and we know that there's, it's been a few moons since we've had the type of exposure that we all, you know, beckoned for when, you know, whether it was the score or things like that. Again, just this as an event to build upon, to further bring a spotlight to the immense talent, to then further draw that potential sponsorship. Like, how big an opportunity is this for that further development down the line, and just that snowball effect from then once it gets a little bit bigger and more eyes and more dollars and more eyes and more dollars, where, you know, where can you see this going?
Well, I think that's a huge, it's brand recognition, and it's just about, you know, telling our story really and getting, you know, all we need is one corporation, one, you know, television network to just have a little bit of belief, right? And give us that opportunity again, and understanding that, you know, there's a cost to everything. It always comes down to budgets, but it's important to get that exposure, and it's important for us to get, whether it's this game, starting with this game, get this game on TV, but just get our brand of football, whether it's the OUA, you know, RSEQ, AUS, or Canada West, you know, on national television. You know, it's great that CBC is doing the national semifinals and the Vanier, and that's a step in the right direction. Let's keep building on that. But we gotta be pros. We gotta show that we're capable of putting on great events, and that's an important piece. And I think it's a credit to you guys too. You guys are gonna be there all week. You know, at Persevere is gonna be there all week. You know, these things are like piggybacking, and it's like a frog jumping, and all we're doing, we're just trying to ascend. And the more notoriety we can get out there, the more clicks in the eyes. You know, not that I'm a click guy, but you know, it's all that stuff matters, and it's being relevant. And I think that's important because football is a popular sport. We know that. I mean, shoot, I don't want to misquote, but I've heard multiple times that, you know, right now women's flag football is the fastest growing sport in North America. I mean, shoot, you know, so that just tells you that, you know, the game is awesome. Well, obviously I have an affinity for it, as you two do. But it's there's so many things that got to come together, but you know, we got to keep these things, the good things that we do, like the East-West Bowl, we absolutely have to keep these events going. And each year, we just got to get 1% or 2% better. I mean, you'd like to take leaps and bounds, but at the end of the day, you got to be realistic, and you got to have the support from not only athletic departments, because all the athletic departments got to support their football programs to send their play. There is a cost to this, right? You know, but we got to get the support like we did from the LIT group and try to keep building on that type of stuff to enhance, you know, the event. And I think doing some of these different things along with the event help to, you know, magnify things. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I know everything's not going to be perfect, but we're going to try our damnedest, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm such a believer in exactly like what you just talked about here, that all this sport really needs is just a proper platform. The amount of people that I have spoken to over the years who have all said, I fell in love with U Sports football when I was watching it on The Score with Tim McAuliffe. And when it had a national spotlight like that, Saturdays at 1 o'clock, you're seeing the game of the week, how many people tuned in for that? And it's so we could get back to that. We just need a proper platform here. And I think everything that you're doing with this East-West Bowl, we're going to be there. Like you said, we want to support this as best as humanly possible. We're going to give more coverage to a single event than I think At the 55 has ever done before, which I'm very, very excited about, but really just highlighting some of the incredible stuff that you are doing. And that, I know you may not say it, but you guilt tripped a whole lot of coaches across the country here to come on down to Waterloo, and they're all coming, baby. They're all coming. You can't say no to Coach Burt. So I am so damn excited for everything else that's coming up here, man.
I better back up that beer store truck.
Oh man, but like you said, you can see it in some of the stuff that's going on here. The fact that Glenn Constantine is talking about D-line, arguably one of the best coaches that's ever graced a U Sports football field, is one of the coolest damn things I think I've ever heard, along with all of the other people. Absolutely, I don't want to discredit anybody here, but it's just so incredible all the things that you were able to do here. And I think it's a big testament to you yourself, Coach. I don't know if anybody else has kind of caught it here, but this dude has so much damn passion for this game. It's incredible here. So I want to say preemptively, thank you for all of the stuff that you're doing here. I can't wait for this, and it's going to be a hell of a week.
Yeah. Yeah, we're excited, and I'm so glad you guys are coming, and I can't wait to see you guys, and thank you for this support, man. At the end of the day, man, we're just trying to grow football yearly.
That's it, right? And, you know, Coach, as exciting as it's been on a couple Zoom calls talking with you, I can't wait till we're there in the flesh in Waterloo and maybe even sharing a pop or two in celebration of all things we love, Canadian football. So, Coach, thank you so much. Like Tom said, for all the efforts we know you've been doing, I mean, on the recruiting of coaching standpoint, it must be like herding cats with all the strong personalities you're having to connect with, and for joining us today in promoting this and everything you do. So, Coach, thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys. And if you're listening out there, you know, come attend the game. It's going to be great. There's all Canadians, you name it, President's Trophy winners. There's There's so much talent on the field. It's going to be amazing, and these young men need your support. And it'll be worth your while if you come out and attend the game. You come watch the coach's clinic if you're a young coach or if you're an old coach. We all can get better. And I'm certainly going to be sitting in those rooms paying attention to all my peers because I want to learn and get better too. Oh, so that's my final pitch. And thank you for the platform, fellas. And I look forward to seeing you next week.
You're always welcome on our podcast anytime. As Tom alluded to, we will be there in Waterloo. And as Coach said, doing all sorts of content. We may have something else that we'll put out before then. But if nothing else, you'll hear us breaking down all things East-West Bowl right here at the 55.